I'm catching some heat, Link said as they stepped into the room. Spicer did not look up. Trevor handed 220s to Link, who took them in a flash. From who? Trevor asked, opening his briefcase. Spicer was reading a newspaper. The warden. Hell, he's cut back on my visits. What else does he want? Don't you understand? Spicer said, without lowering the newspaper. Link here is upset because he's not collecting as much. Right, Link? You got that right. I don't know what kind of funny business you boys are running here, but if I tightened up on my inspections, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? You're being paid well, Trevor said. That's what you think. How much do you want? Spicer said, staring at him now. $1,000 a month cash, he said, looking at Trevor. I'll pick it up at your office. $1,000 bucks, and the mail doesn't get checked, Spicer said. Yep, you're not a worry to anybody. Yep, it's a deal. Now get out of here. Link smiled at both of them and left the room. He positioned himself outside the door and, for the benefit of the closed-circuit cameras, looked through the window occasionally. Inside, the routine varied little. The exchange of mail happened first and took only a second. From a worn manila folder, the same one every time, Joe Roy Spicer removed the outgoing letters and handed them to Trevor, who took the incoming mail from his briefcase and gave it to his client. There were 6 letters to be mailed. Some days there were as many as 10, seldom less than 5. Though Trevor didn't keep records or copies or documents in a file that would serve as proof that he had anything whatsoever to do with the brethren's little scam, he knew there had to be 20 or 30 potential victims currently being set up. He recognized some of the names and addresses. 21, to be exact, according to Spicer's precise records. 21 serious prospects, with another 18 who were marginal. Almost 40 pen pals currently hiding in their various closets, some terrified of their shadows, others getting bolder by the week, still others on the verge of kicking down the door and dashing off to meet Ricky or Percy. The difficult part was being patient. The scam was working, money was changing hands. The temptation was to squeeze them too quickly. Beach and Yarber were proving to be workhorses, laboring over their letters for hours at a time while Spicer directed operations. It took discipline to hook a new pen pal, one with money, then ply him with enough pretty words to earn his trust. "Aren't we due for a bust?" Trevor said. Spicer was flipping through the new letters. "Don't tell me you're broke," he said. "You're making more than we are." "My money's tucked away, just like yours. I'd just like to have some more of it." "So would I." Spicer looked at the envelope from Brandt in Upper Darby, PA. "Ah, a new one," he mumbled to himself, then opened it. He read it quickly and was surprised by its tone. No fear, no wasted words, no peeking around corners. This man was ready for action. "Where's Palm Valley?" he asked.
10 miles south of the beaches."
"Why? What kind of place is it?"
"It's one of the gated golf communities for rich retirees, almost all from up north."
"How much are the houses?"
"Well, I've never been there, okay? They keep the damn gate locked, guards everywhere, like somebody might break in and steal their golf carts, but
how much are the houses?"
"Nothing less than 1 million. I've seen a couple advertised for 3 million.
"Wait here,"
Spicer said, gathering his file and walking to the door.
"Where are you going?" Trevor asked. "To the library. I'll be back in half an hour."
"I got things to do."
"No, you don't. Read the newspaper."